Deva Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janmadiyasya jato nivyada taratas charteshu avignya swaratthane brahma hrita jada kavaye yuhanti atsuraya hejo varimridam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sarana rasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Hare Krishna. Well, I'm going to need a little advice here. We got 7 verses to go through. And how do we handle all that? Do we want to do the Sanskrit, Prabhu? I would like, because you do it smoothly and nicely. Is this it? No. Oh, I always forget that I'm blind. I beg your pardon? Read the summary. Chapter, where are we on? Oh, the marker's in there, eh? Yeah. Put the knife near my face. Down a devotional principle. Okay, let's see. Summary of Lord Krishna's glories. What nicer thing could we read? This chapter, it describes how Lord Krishna enjoyed with his queen in the lakes of Dwarka. See? Pushkar Prabhu has made this lovely picture for us over here. And it also relates to the queen's ecstatic prayers in the mood of intense separation from him and summarizes Lord Krishna's pastimes. Lord Sri Krishna continued to reside in his opulent capital of Dwarka. Together with the Yadus and his queens, he would enjoy sporting with his wives in the ponds on the palace grounds. There, squirting water on them with a syringe and being squirted in turn. With his graceful gestures and loving words and sidelong glances, he would enchant their hearts. In this way, the queens would become totally absorbed in thoughts of him, and sometimes after playing with the Lord in the water, they would address various creatures, Kurari and Chakravaka birds, the ocean, the moon, a cloud, a cuckoo, a mountain, a river, and so on, declaring their great attachment to Sri Krishna on the pretext of commiserating with these creatures. Lord Krishna begot 10 sons in the womb of each of his queens. Among these sons, Pradyumna was foremost, being equal to his father in all transcendental qualities. Pradyumna married Rukmi's daughter, and from her womb, Aniruddha was born. And Aniruddha then married Rukmi's granddaughter and begot Bhadra, who was the only Yadu prince to survive the battle of iron clubs at Prabhas. From Bhadra descended the remainder of the Yadu dynasty, beginning with Pratibahu, and the members of the Yadu dynasty, they are virtually innumerable. Indeed, just to educate their children, hold your hat there, or your seat, just to educate their children, the Yadus employed 38 million teachers. Big budget. Before Lord Krishna appeared, many demons took birth in human families to harass the people of the world. That's their job. And destroy Brahminical culture. To subdue them, the Lord ordered the demigods to please descend into the Yadu dynasty, which then expanded into 101 different clans. And all the Yadus recognized Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they had unflinching faith in him. And while resting, while eating, walking, and so on, which they often did in his company, they would forget their own bodies in their transcendental happiness. The 10th canto concludes with this promise for success for the sincere hearer. Quote, by regularly hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda, with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. Okay, now it's time. Do you need a book or you have it all on the machine? Machine Uvacha.
Okay, I guess we will just chant together. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sukham Swapuyam Nivasan Dharakayam Shriyapati Sarva Sampat Samridhayam Vishtayam Vishnipungavai Srivishchottama Veshabhi Navayauvana Kantibhi Kanduka Bibhi Harmeshu Kridanti Vistadid Guru Nityam Sankulamayam Marachuddhi Matangajai Swalam Kritar Bratar Ashwai Ratarsha Kanakujwalai Ujjano Pavanadhyayam Pushpita Drumarajishu Nirvishad Bhringa Vihagai Nadikayam Samantata Vrenesho Dasha Sahasra Patnina Eka Vallava Tavad Vichitra Rupasau Tadgeheshu Maharnishu Potulot Palakalara Kumodam Bojarenuri Vasita Malavishu Ujad Gija Kuleshita Vijahara Vivayambo Radinishu Mahunaya Kucha Kumkumalitanga Harirabdashkayoshita.
It's a very long word for word. You think I should do that? Thank you. Translation. And of course, this is put together, compiled by the students of Srila Prabhupada in his service with great sincerity and also compiling the purports. Shukadev Goswami, translation of the verses 1 through 7. Shukadev Goswami said, the master of the goddess of fortune resided happily in his capital city of Dwarka, which is endowed with all opulences and populated by the most eminent Rishnis and their gorgeously dressed wives. And when these beautiful women in the bloom of youth would play on the city's rooftops with balls and other toys, they shone just like flashing lightning, and the main streets of the city, they were always crowded with intoxicated elephants exuding mada, and also with cavalry, richly adorned infantrymen, soldiers riding chariots brilliantly decorated with gold, gracing the city where many gardens and parks with rows of flowering trees, where bees and birds would gather, filling all directions with their song. Lord Krishna was the sole beloved of his 16,000 wives. Expanding himself into that many forms, he enjoyed with each one of his queens in her own richly furnished residence and on the grounds of these palaces, there were clear ponds, fragrant with pollen of blooming Utpala, Kalara, Kumuda, Amboja lotuses, filled with flocks of cooing birds, and the Almighty Lord would enter those ponds, and also various rivers, and enjoy sporting in the water with his wives, while his wives embraced him, leaving the red kumkum from their breasts smeared on his body. Purport. One rule of poetic composition by Vaishnava authors is Madhurena Samapayet. Quote, a literary work should conclude in a mood of special sweetness. Unquote. Srila Shukadev Goswami, the most tasteful narrator of the transcendental topics, has accordingly included in this last chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam a description of Lord Krishna's water sports in the attractive setting of Dwarka, followed by the rapturous prayers of the Lord's queen. Okay. Well, there's a lot of, the atmosphere here is just filled with love. Lots of, you see, yesterday's class, the subject of love in Krishna consciousness, Shesha spoke about that. And here we have this same, that's the crowning jewel that makes the whole atmosphere so beautiful. Unlimited beings, unlimited devotees, all of them having a special relationship with Krishna in a loving mood, each one unique, and Krishna capable of reciprocating with each one in a unique and beautiful way. So today's class also focuses on this topic of loving exchange in the spiritual world. And it gives us some idea of this kind of beauty. Usually I don't make any notes when I talk, I just talk, but this is a special topic, and so I put together a few ideas. Probably won't get through most of it, but we'll give it a shot. So our goal is to enter into that realm of transcendental loving exchange with Krishna. That's it. That's our goal. As conditioned souls, we have actually to declare war on the illusory energy. The illusory conception of ourselves as separate from Krishna. We don't feel this connection in our conditioned state. We feel like our illusory sense of ourselves that we're the controllers, we're the proprietors, and we're the enjoyers. And this is, so our jihad, the Muslims talk of jihad, the holy war. So I saw online that this day, Muhammad was talking about the holy war within the heart to overcome this nescience. This is to be a spiritual warrior, to understand what we really are and manifest that and deal with all the obstacles one by one as they arise within us. This is our day-to-day, moment-to-moment business, especially in our beginning stages of devotional service. We're not yet in the spontaneous overflow of love of God that simply purges and like everything else. So our goal is love of Krishna. And the question, where does this love come from? That's very, we want to have love for Krishna and we have all these other propensities. Where does this love come from? So How does it develop? So there's two conceptions, basically, as to how this happens. They're not totally unrelated, but one conception which is put forward very strongly within our Krishna consciousness society is that if I do enough sadhana long enough, intensely enough, one day a light will go on, and that we'll have this love of Krishna, and that there's really no love in the material world. Many devotees, including sannyasis, have strongly pronounced this to me. There is no love. And we have different verses to support that, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it's all a manifestation of lust. Okay. So, love is something that we have to earn, be blessed with, something that has to be added to us, a benediction. But then Srila Prabhupada offers another point of view. He says that there is no manifestation of love in the conditioned state. But he doesn't say that we have no love. On the contrary, he says that our love for Krishna is actually dormant in us. It's sleeping. And he explains the mechanism that harnesses our love and holds it in that dormant state. It's not that we don't have it. It's that it's harnessed. It's like a computer. It has an operating system, and you can put in different apps or applications. I beg your pardon? Oh, so Hare Krishna. So when our love is pushed through the application of the three modes of material nature, it takes on a different form. And when when it's freed of that application, it takes on its real form. That we are always, there's no question of us not having love, that love is what we are. So I have to get off the mental platform and Srila Prabhupada always talked about speaking from the platform lecture, right? As opposed to being intellectual in our Krishna consciousness, being on the mental platform. Of course, sambandha is very purifying, very good, but we're encouraged to take the next step. So in the introduction of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada writes, even in this material world, we can have a sense of this love. And how is this possible? It is due to the presence of our original love of God. In our original relationship with the Supreme Lord, there is this real love, and that love is reflected, however, pervertedly through our material condition. Our real love is unending. It never stopped. It's always there. It's flowing. Our real love is unending, but because that love is reflected pervertedly in this material world, it lacks continuity and it's inebriating. It lacks continuity and it's inebriating. We'll come to that. If we want real transcendental love, we have to transfer our love to the supreme lovable object, Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. And this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Hey, Srila Prabhupada, change the account. So what does it mean that our real love, our unending, ever-present love, is reflected through material conditions so that it becomes expressed in a perverted manner? Why does it lack continuity? It lacks continuity because the soul is mad after bliss. That is our nature. The soul is bliss. The soul is love. But Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, to be self-satisfied, right? So, but when this affection is directed towards material nature, there's no reciprocation. Yoga means linking up or connecting, like we are connecting like to a powerhouse, and like a light bulb and a lamp, and there's the reciprocating current, alternating current. And when we're connected with the powerhouse, the light goes on. In the same way when we're connected. But in the material world, we're relating to material nature, material conception, subtle and gross. And there's no taste. So therefore we have to jump from one thing to another, and that's why it lacks continuity, because we just can't find it in anything. And then he says, what does it mean that it's inebriating? Krishna explains the technology. Inebriating means intoxicating, that the more we, it's explained, I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but I was reading, that the more we take up this materialistic demeanor, it hard fastens our identification with our false ego. The more we practice the orientation of self-centered fulfillment, separate from Krishna, it simply cements our identification with the false ego. So what does Krishna explains the technology by which our inherent spiritual love becomes reflected in a perverted manner. Chapter 9, verse 37, Kama Esha Krodha Esha. When our spiritual love comes in touch with the mode of passion, it becomes expressed as lust. Here it is again. The operating system is the same, it never changes, but the application is different when the love is projected through the material nature of the mode of good, that's the application. It takes on, instead of a devotional orientation that enjoys loving reciprocity, it takes on the orientation of being self-centered and seeking fulfillment independently. It's an application. This is how, so Krishna is explaining Kama Esha Krodha Esha. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that when a living entity comes in contact with the material creation in association with the mode of passion, his eternal, ever-present love for Krishna is transformed into lust. In other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust. So why does it lack continuity? We touched on that. And why is this, or our perverted expression of love inebriating? We touched on that. So because lustful propensity induces the soul to acquire the false ego. So what's the solution? In Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse 43, one should control the lower self by the higher self, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Spiritual strength simply means devotional love directed towards Krishna. This means we have to meditate on ourselves as Krishna's eternal loving servants and engage in that way. Like the first line of Gayatri that the Brahmins chant, we have this word, dhimahi. Dhimahi means I meditate on myself in my capacity as pure spirit soul, as an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. I meditate on myself in that way. I own it. I claim it. This is what I am. This is spiritual strength. This is what we have to assert. There's one word in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. I have to think of Krishna otherwise. So in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya explains the different meanings in the Atma Rama Shloka, and there's this word Atma, and he says one of the meanings of the word Atma is endeavor. that we have to endeavor or assert ourselves to meditate and lock into our spiritual. If we don't do it, it won't happen, because our default program is to lock in, to be influenced by the material programs, by the mode of passion. So that we can begin to claim that position and act on that platform, we have to be very sober like that. But there's challenges, and one of them is impersonalism. Why are people attracted by impersonalism? There's a lot of impersonalism. Actually, the basis of impersonalism is fear. Relationship in the material world is so troublesome and so painful that people would rather, they think, oh, I have an eternal identity. This is very frightening. And they would rather have no identity. And so they're attracted to impersonalism. But devotees can't be impersonal. Because we can't love Krishna. This is very important. We can't love Krishna any more than we love each other. We can't. This is a fact. This is not a kirtan movement. This is a sankirtan movement. It's all together. Now, we're going to try and find some shastric evidence for that. We cannot love Krishna any more than we love each other. Just like we have Vaishnava Aparat being critical of each other. And on the other hand, we have Shanad api sunichena taror api sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniyasara. That I can enjoy and taste the nectar of the holy name when I'm in a certain disposition towards other beings in my heart. And on the other hand, if I don't, you can't be neutral. We're not void or empty. We're either in the light or the darkness takes us over. So then we become critical and we find fault and we feel this alienation from each other. And we become impersonal because we're afraid. Devotees are not impersonal. Devotees are very loving with each other, and this is almost like you want to get into a club, there's a cover charge. When I was a kid, there was a song on the hit parade. It said, "Green door, what's that secret you're keeping?" Everybody's behind the green door and they're having a great time, and we want into this Krishna loka. We want to know how to get in. But so the cover charge is that we have to love each other. We cannot enter into Krishna's association to any degree more than we can enter into a loving relationship with each other. This is just our philosophy. So we have to consider this very soberly. Because if we're not in love with each other, then we're in another program and we'll be critical and we'll be impersonal. We have to accept this fact. We cannot try to be just blandly impersonal. It won't work. So, and if we're impersonal and we're trying to arrest the mechanically, I won't criticize. It was not going to work. So we have this nectar of instruction tells us how we should relate to each other as devotees. What are you talking about? Must be very important. Okay, you're allowed. So dadati prati grinati. In all the different ways in which devotees exchange loving relationships with each other. Srila Prabhupada, in that purport on that nectar of instruction, he said He uses the love and the word loving about 15 times in that purport as to how devotees relate to each other. Nectar of instruction, prati, granati, dadati, prati, text number 4. This means that we have to live in love, because Lord Chaitanya says that if we come to this platform, we'll be able to taste the holy name and we'll naturally want to chant constantly. You say, when will I have this taste? Dirdaiva Midrisham Jani Nanu Rang. I got no taste. Offense to the holy name. We're not in love with our God brothers and God sisters. Solution. Offer the highest loving respect to everyone, and you'll chant 24 hours. This is our philosophy. These are the cover charges. These are the prerequisites to entering into a relationship with Krishna. We have to become sober and understand this. There's no way we can go to Krishna without each other. It's the Sankirtan movement, not the Kirtan movement. San means together. Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they have splashing contests. They go in the water, okay? They're splashing each other with a flood of love of God. And they plundered the storehouse of love of God, and they're distributing it, and they're madly splashing each other with, this is kirtan. This is the spirit in which we enter into the activity of glorifying Krishna all together. All together. Splash, jump into the... Look at Lord Chaitanya on the altar. Look, he's dancing and he's inviting us all to join in together and splash each other with love of Krishna. So this is the spirit of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada used to always go like this. Move his head, come on, come on. Get off the ground, get it off the ground. So this is not the Kirtan movement, it's the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya is dancing on our altar and inviting us to jump into the pool with arms upraised. But we can't jump in and splash around with each other until we abandon our impersonal propensities, our fears, and open our hearts to each other. It's just the science of Krishna consciousness, put in very simple words. It's nothing different from what is in our books. It is the basis of our Krishna consciousness. So that's the thing, because I have this kind of little bit of... See, my first wife in Krishna consciousness, she used to call me a misanthrope. That means a person who hates other people. I'm working with it. So the thing is... what's that? The English word? Misanthrope. A person who hates people. So we have to really warm up. And of course, our impersonal nature is only because we're a little afraid of being hurt, and we defend ourselves, and we're very self-protected. But we have to get... This is... Srila Prabhupada encourages us to live in a spirit of love and trust. We have to enter into this. So... when you drive in your car, a modern car has cruise control. Everyone's cruising at a different speed, a different altitude. Same as in Krishna consciousness, for every devotee, they're at a different level of how much their heart is open. And they cruise through life at that altitude. We're so accustomed to cruising at our own speed or our own altitude in terms of how open-hearted we are, that we don't know that there's an alternative and that we can adjust that cruise control. We have to work on opening our heart. You know, it's so nice when we open our heart. When I do things, am I thinking, son of a gun, why doesn't this work? And why is this a struggle? And why didn't he show up? And why didn't this? Or am I just like, am I feeling love in the moment? You can wash a plate or a spoon and you think you would be thinking about my to-do list. Or you could be washing that same plate with a feeling of love in our hearts. And that's a moment-to-moment choice all through our 24 hours. And at what, how are we? So we're all cruising in our own way. You know, you check it out. When you feel happiness and love, which are the real qualities of the soul, then all that feeling of attachment and aversion evaporates. We're not concerned about the outcome of things, that fruitive nature that Krishna encourages us to give up. We're not concerned about that, because when there's love in the heart, love is self-satisfying. We're in our spiritual position, and we're in a position we can't. Srila Prabhupada writes in 9.2 purport of Bhagavad Gita that in all of our service we do so many things, different kinds of. Krishna accepts only the love with which we do our service. That's all. What does Krishna need from us? Krishna accepts only the love. So how much am I bringing to it? Or am I, what is this, that Srila Prabhupada used the word, a rubber stamp, what does it mean? It means this is officially my service. You rubber stamp it. Devotional, no, he said, no. It's not. He used the word show bottle. Why? Because I have neck beads and a shaved head and I'm wearing a dress. But what is the content? Show bottle means the content's what, not there. What is the content that's missing? Or plentiful? The content is love. And we have a choice. And we are saying that it's not something that is going to be dropped on us, but that it is simply being manifested through the lower modes of nature and turning into a self-centered propensity that where the false ego puts itself up by putting others down. It's our disease condition. We're in a disease. So we have to be sober, and we're in a transitional stage, moving in from the offensive stage of chanting into the clearing stage. Does the clearing mean to try to eliminate, to be self-observant, monitor ourselves, and to, okay, so for so many years, yeah, Arjuna talks about that same thing. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. He says, I got this miserly weakness. He says, I got this. What is a miser? He is the person who has millions and billions of dollars, but he can't spend it. That miserly weakness, he's making a metaphor. What is the metaphor? Is that I have this capacity to love in my heart, but I'm not using it. So what is the result? If I'm in yoga linked up with Krishna through love, then knowledge and detachment follow without separate endeavor. But if I'm not using it, I'm forced to identify with the dictates of the material nature. So he says, because I have this miserly weakness, because I'm not holding it, because I'm not using my love for you, therefore, I'm in this confusion, and I don't know what to do. And he's asking Krishna to teach him, but actually he's giving his own. What do the doctors do when they analyze something? What's the word? Not prescription, but before that, there's a what? Diagnosis. He's diagnosing his own disease. He's telling Krishna, I understand. I'm not. I'm being miserly. I'm not giving my love to you, so I'm influenced by the modes of material nature, and so I'm overwhelmed by material conceptions of life. Imagine. But he's playing. So this is for our learning. So he says, Jesus tells the same story in the Bible. He said, a master, a big landowner, he had these servants, and when he went away, he gave them different coins to each of them. And when he came back, he said, well, what did you do with these coins? I gave you this wealth, and what did you do with it? And one of them says, well, I buried it. And he asked the other one, he said, I used it and I made it grow. I got 3-4 times as much. So the master took it from the one who buried it and gave it to the one who increased it. So the thing is, it's the same thing. Who's the master is Krishna. And he's given us this, and if we bury it, we lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And if we use it, more is given unto us. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them all the intelligence by which they can continue to come closer to me. So we have to, this is something we have, as opposed to I'm doing my sadhana, blah, de blah, and one day a light will go on. It won't go on. It'll go on when we, through purification, understand the philosophy clearly enough to begin to make that. What that word that Lord Chaitanya used, Atma, one of the meanings is to endeavor to bring this into focus. Dhimahi, meditate on ourselves and live on the platform of devotion. Bring the love up to into our heart. So for so many years I wondered if I would ever have a sense of a loving reciprocation with Krishna. You know, 1 decade, 2 decades, 3 decades of doing sadhana. But Krishna wasn't hiding from me. He was waiting. But a heart that is close to others is a heart that is closed. You can't have it both ways. And a closed heart cannot feel love for Krishna. The more we love each other, the more we'll feel love for Krishna, and the more we will understand that Krishna loves us. So, because Krishna promises that he reciprocates with us according to our cruise control, he's simply waiting for our love. It's not that Krishna consciousness is the mysterious secret. He's simply waiting for our love, and we have it, and we're capable, but habitually we're so closed. So we have to work with this. I'm not making anything new. I'm trying to quote as much, because we can't approach him alone, that means. This is a Sankirtan movement. To those who worship me with faith and love, I give them the understanding. So Krishna consciousness is a science, it's not a sentiment. And Srinadapi Sunichena, to become more humble and to have this great love and respect to each other, and then be able to feel, taste the nectar of the holy name, okay? This is a science. Science means, what is science? It means hypothesis, procedure, and conclusion. We have to test this out. If I engage in this way, will I begin to taste? Don't accept it blindly, but work with it and see if it works or not. The Srila Prabhupada always well, not to be blind followers. So if we do get into the loving, if we do, you know, monitor ourselves and say, am I in a loving demeanor at the moment? What are the perks? One is that love is immediately self-satisfied. To maintain material attachments while chanting Hare Krishna is an offense. Love is immediately, check it out. Love is immediately self-satisfied. All hankering and lamentation depart. It can't be. The darkness can't be in the light. And another perk of being in love. Love automatically puts one into the present moment. The sat condition, the eternal condition. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Forget the past that sleeps and ne'er the future dream at all. but act in times that are with thee, and progress you shall call. So, is that different from Brahma Bhutta Prasthanatma Nasochati Nakanshati? No more hankering, lamentation. When you're in Prasthanatma, self-fulfilled by being in that loving position with that self-fulfilled within your heart, Prasthanatma means self-satisfied. No more hankering, no more lamentation. Sama an Trinadapi Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Feeling this equanimity of total acceptance towards all living beings. And what is to happen? Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. This is the cover charge. We have to come to this platform before our ability to sense the reciprocation with Krishna will begin to open up. And we have to understand this because we all want to become Krishna conscious. We want to taste Krishna's loving reciprocation. But he's saying that we have to come to this platform and then Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Then our heart can open up in a bhakti spirit. So we have to check our cruise control and see our... So when we love Krishna and his devotees, gradually our inherent attraction to a specific rasa will arise in our hearts and we'll become mad after Krishna. Then we can enter into Krishna's pastimes, like in these descriptions that we're reading about in this section of the Bhagavatam. But we're not on that platform. We're not on that platform. But we also read that also is dormant, that each of us has a particular loving relationship with Krishna. Each of us has our own unique, and it's also in a dormant stage. But there's no question of jumping to that stage that someday it will just, the light will turn on. We have to at least have a sense of connection and feeling that I have affection for Radha and Krishna, and Krishna loves me. And that will begin to open up and make the process tasteful. They will begin to taste the name. We won't do it as a matter of duty. We'll enjoy chanting the holy name. And more it will open up to us, and gradually we'll become attracted by reading of, we'll be able to taste the Shastra. What is that Shastra? That we're reading about Krishna's relationships with his devotees. And when our hearts are open like that, we'll begin to say, oh, what is that, so nice? And we'll become attracted to meditate on that. And that'll become our guru, our teacher in that way. Okay, so what is my time? I got, what, three, how many minutes? Three? So then you understand my drift. If anyone wants to comment or raise any questions, I'm sorry I didn't leave enough time, but I was all excited to share this idea with you, because... instead of it becoming a job, it's becoming pleasant gradually. It's a day-to-day, a moment-to-moment. We are in the clearing stage, and so we have to monitor ourselves. We have to invoke this in our heart. We have to see how we're relating to each other, and on and on. And then everything will open up. So if we're wondering when and why it's not happening, or when it will happen, of course you're all feeling ecstasy, I understand. Then we should try and understand what are the impediments so that we can work with that in a constructive manner. Go ahead, say anything you want.
Anything. I heard something, but I want to hear from you about this. Two conceptions. One is, Rupa Goswami Pada explains, as a soul join in Krishna consciousness and practice, as he progress, then his association, his closeness to other sadhakas will change as he progress towards the goal. Maybe the most intimate friend is not interested to progress at that speed, and he will find new friend who is more closer to that progressive line, and then he changes. So how it relates to your idea, and then another one is that Srila Prabhupada, many purports he put that when someone develop love for the Lord, that is the beginning of your intermediate. Madhyam Adhikari means they have love. Kanishta means no love yet. So in that love, the verse says that when someone develops that love for the Lord, then automatically second stage is that he has a respect to the advanced devotee and his serve, and he has a very intimate friendship with the other devotees, and those who are in a lower stage, he has a compassionate nature towards them to uplift them up. And that, so how does it relate? You said one word, just love the devotees. Within that love, there's a one serves the superior, become very intimate to the equal level, and compassion to the juniors. Is that includes or just?
What is left then?
Is that how it is? Because you gave it very nice that we should develop love for the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the ticket,
mm-hmm,
to enter into spiritual world. But my question is, within that love the devotees, there's a gradation, no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I understand, and we raised that question at the very beginning of our talk. Is it something that we will one day be blessed with, which is what you're saying? When we're blessed with it, we'll automatically love each other. Or is it something that we can cultivate within ourselves? Well, it seems that it goes from both directions. For instance, a person who's a pure devotee, he automatically keeps the four regulative principles. We're not pure devotees yet, but we keep the four regulative principles. We attack it from both ends. It's not one or the other. Both are true. When one advances, he'll love more, and when one loves more, he'll advance. It's not that they're mutually exclusive. A couple of things went through my head while you were speaking, but I lost some of them. But that's the basis of it. You see when you're in a loving mood, you won't find anybody can be in a loving mood. Anybody. In 1 second, he can be bent out of shape and annoyed, or he can let it go. Like my wife used to say, my second one, they all would teach me something. My second wife, I would be upset about something. And really angry, she'd say, "Let it go." And I'd say, "But I'm right." And she said, "Is it making you happy?" So, thing is, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I thought they were done. So, we have a choice. We can't. You just monitor yourself, make an experiment. When you're feeling happy, like Srila Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He's not saying chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. He says chant Hare Krishna and be happy because it's a choice. To love is a choice. We have to, I believe, and I'm talking not from, I'm talking from my own experience, that we can increase our love by cultivating a loving demeanor. And it frees us, and it makes Krishna consciousness come to life. That's my experience. That's why I'm giving this. This is the substance of my class, because I want to share it with my God brothers and God sisters. I know what it means to be on the other side, because I am chief misanthrope number one. But I am understanding that the more I melt my own heart, the process becomes more attractive, and the process, but Srila Prabhupada says Krishna accepts only the love with which we engage in Krishna consciousness. He's trying to encourage us. So it's not one or the other, but it's both. Does that make sense? Consider. This is what you're saying. You're saying, and so we to be self-satisfied is a choice.
Yes.
That's where my contention. To be in a loving demeanor is, which is self-satisfaction. It's a choice. It's not something that's going. That's the biggest point of everything I'm talking about. It's not going to. A light will put on a switch, and a light will go on one day. If I chant Hare Krishna for 100 years or 100 births. When I come to the point of understanding that I have to use my own volition a little bit, my endeavor to and meditate on, this is what I really am. I am love. Love is part of what I am, and it's our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I don't have the which verse in Bhagavad Gita, that the happiness of sattva guna emanates from the soul itself. So that's what you're talking about. You're experiencing the satisfaction of the soul in sattva. You're making the austerity of making the effort of moving into turning on the light in our own heart. And that, so, yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for this class. I wanted to say that I really feel that what you're saying is the key. And nobody else is talking about it. And it's an experiment, you know, to endeavor to love when we're doing our service and relating to one another and helping each other to become Krishna conscious is a service to Lord Krishna. And if we're not doing it with love, then there's nothing, because the Lord is only accepting our love. And he's making up for where we lack. So as we endeavor, as you said, it's like hooking up to the powerhouse, because he's reciprocating with us and making up for our lack. And I like what you said, it's an experiment, because my own self, I've been trying it out. And it's so beautiful to approach this process from that standpoint of, let me expand the love in my heart. And it comes alive from that perspective.
It's not static.
Right, and I wanted to say that I like what you said. You're either in a critical mood or you're in a loving mood. There's no in between. So if you're in, you know, when you are in a loving mood, automatically you're not making offenses to the devotees. Not possible. If you love them with all your heart, you
protect them.
You can't do it. Right. So it's so important, your message, Prabhu. And thank you so, so, so much for speaking so strongly on this. It's really changed my life.
I'm not.
And I appreciate it with all my heart, Prabhu. Thank you.
You're very kind. I'm not speaking. I just want to say in my sentence, I'm not speaking as saying that I got it down. I'm saying that I'm beginning to get an orientation so that I understand the job in front of me. You understand the difference, right? And because it's working for me, I want to share it. That's all. And it's a very exciting experiment, Krishna consciousness coming up to life. I like it. I'm beginning to like it. So I guess this is the very beginning, and we can all do that. Anyone can do that. If a misanthrope like me can do that, anyone can do that. It's just fear that's holding us back. We're armored. We're protected. I shouldn't go over the mark. It's already 10 minutes. Thank you so much for letting me speak with you like this. Really, really, I approach devotees every day, and some of them can tell you. I need your love. I need the love of my God brothers and God sisters. It helps me in my Krishna consciousness. We need each other. We can get so much juice from each other. We will see when we all jump into the pool and dance together. Everyone breaks out and smiles, and everyone's happy and free. This is because we let down the wall and we throw our fears aside. So Hare Krishna, I shouldn't go on. Hare Krishna.